The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's a numbers game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside.
Hey,
what's happening?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm good. You doing that whole double thing where you're like, not much. Football talk. not much. On the show today, looking forward to it. Will Hill with all of his plays across the sports betting landscape. Sia Najad joining us talk U.S. Open golf. From CBS Sportsline. Always excited about that. You'll have some more U.S. Open thoughts. Had long shots go yesterday.
Oh, that was great. Me and Wes chatting it up for a while. It was awesome. The bets are in. I think I'm all ready. I think I'm finished.
Oh, you think you're all space ready? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Jonathan Von Tobel, JVT, talking, co-host of Money Moves, talking NBA Finals with us. And Ben Wilson, College World Series. We are down to 8. We're down to Omaha. Whole network going to Omaha tomorrow.
That's right.
Yeah.
The whole network.
Except for the Semites. Other than that, we're all going.
Hey, Dave's got to sit here and talk to Jensen.
Oh, that's
Jensen
true.
Remotely. I feel like that's worse.
Oh, by the way, before we start the show, I have a pet peeve, not along those lines.
I do, but I just remembered real quick the guy from Goodfellas. I was like, what do they call the guy? Jimmy Two Times. That's what it was. Maybe he's like, I'm going to get the papers.
You might be too young for this, but I'm at the age now where like I have a prescription or two at the local drugstore, right, at the local Walgreens. They treat, if I don't come pick up my prescription within an hour or two, let alone a day or two.
Bro, don't get me started on this.
They treat my prescription like a live grenade. They don't stop calling me.
Oh, yeah.
Automated. Then an hour later, it's like a woman with an accent. The pharmacist, she's like berating me for not coming and getting my prescription. It is hilarious. I'm like, what is going on? I'll get it. Leave me alone.
Okay, so, yeah, they're terrible. I don't know what's going on with pharmacies these days. They're terrible. My brother's a pharmacist. Maybe I'll just call him and complain on behalf of all of us.
Let's blame your brother.
Call all your pharmacists and get this figured out. But the other ones are like, for my shots, right? They're from more of a private pharmacy here in town that is over in Summerlin.
Yes.
I'm not driving to Summerlin, so they do a delivery service, right? They give you one of those, like, five-hour windows. Gil, they are 50-50, whether they get there in the window or not.
Oh, that's different.
Like, I get the call, like, hey, I'm here. It's 9:30 p.m. I'm like, yeah, you were supposed to be here 4 hours ago.
I love that you're so bougie that you get your thing delivered
to
you.
I'm driving all the way to Summerlin to pick up a prescription. I mean, not when a service is offered.
Anyway, yesterday I got so frustrated. I'm like, what, is your plastic bucket overflowing that you need me to come in? They're like, plastic bucket? You know what I'm talking about.
Anyway. Yeah, all the trays.
Yeah. Their system.
Why are those same trays been around for like 50 years?
A to G, H to J, that kind of thing. All right. I was nerding out on some baseball. Because Wishnev was on Monday when you weren't here, when you were on assignment. Wishnev was on the show. We got into some deep dive stuff on baseball. And, Mark Borchardt and I do the quarterlies on the Beating the Book podcast feed. And we get into first fives. We get into first inning stuff. And so I just want to do this. We're at roughly like the 65 game mark. I didn't want to wait till 80, 82 or 81 games to update the first five. But these are the first five stats in baseball. And then we have some props we want to get into. But currently, and this, by the way, shout out to Odds Shark on these because they do a great job in updating these. So these are the first five stats, betting stats through yesterday. Through the day before yesterday. All right, so yesterday's games are not included in this. But shout out to Odds Shark for keeping these updated. So now this is the exercise where it's the bizarro exercise. If you had bet on each club every single game that they've played this year, whether they were a favorite or a dog, right? Obviously, no one really does that. I hope no one does that. But if you did, this is how much you'd be up or down. And now not full game. We're talking about first five. So the best first five teams in baseball, had you done that, and remember with first fives, you're going to have pushes as well. The number one first five betting team in baseball thus far this year, and again, our task here is to figure out how much of this is narrative, how much of this is predictive. The Detroit Tigers, number one. Number one first five, number one period. 39-21-7 are the Tigers this year if you bet them every single game first five. So Tarik Skubal on down, their starting pitching has been solid. You'd be up about 10 units. What are you laughing? What are you laughing
at? I haven't looked at this in a while.
Because you know where it's going,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know where it's going.
All right, Cubbies are second. You'd be up a little over 7 units if you bet them every single game, first five, dog, favorite, whatever. Yankees are third. So the Yankees have the best first five record, 37-19-8. But because some of those losses were as big favorites in the first five, they're third place, not first or second. They're, you'd be up 6.5 units roughly if you bet the Yankees first five bizarro every single game this year. And then number four.
How's it still a thing? How's this still a thing?
The reason I bring this up is because this has been going on now for over a year, and it ain't stopping.
It's a year and a half at this point.
The Chicago White Sox, who, by the way, they don't stink anymore. Like, you know, they don't, like, last year stink. They're just not great at baseball. They're not good at baseball. Let's put it that way. But they don't stink anymore. They're 23-44 in real life. Full standings. But first five, they are 24-27-15. And as a dog in many of those, if not most of those, not quite all of those, but most for sure, you'd be up 5.72 units doing that on the White Sox. The Brewers are fifth, by the way, which is a bit of a surprise to me as well. But I want to just seize on the White Sox for a second, because the betting sort of, you know, application of this once again becomes, all right, how do you make money on this? Now, last year when Borchardt and I were talking about this, and everybody knew the White Sox stunk. Remember, the White Sox won 41 games last year. But they were a top five first five team, you know, for the balance of the season. And there were certain books where you could do something called a double result. It's not available at every book. The double result was White Sox to win the first five and lose the full game. And that hit enough times last year. Borchardt had the exact number. I want to say it was somewhere between like 18 to 22 times, something like that in that range. But the average price on them was 7-1 you were getting on it. So if you did that last year, it became this really profitable thing doing it that way. I think it was 22, I can't remember the exact number, but trust me, it ended up being a very profitable proposition because the average was 7-1, but sometimes it was longer than that. And this year, the books have adjusted a bit on these double results. You're not getting quite the bang for your buck. This is, by the way, we're seeing this in a lot of stuff that bettors actually won on. Alternate season win totals in the NFL is another one. We'll talk about that with Fezzik later in the week, or later next week, when he's back from his New York journey. Where it's like, you know, alternate season win totals in the NFL, they used to give us like plus 230 on some of these numbers. Now it's like plus 190-ish. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all good things come to an end and books do adjust. So they have a little bit with these White Sox double results. But that still doesn't mean you can't bet them in-game in some of these, right? Where it's not quite as stark as last year where you knew, oh my God, they're going to lose the full game. Because they're actually pretty pesky this year. But it is just something to note. Both if you have those double results, if you do want to bet them in-game, it's still kind of a thing, if not as dramatic as last year.
It's crazy to me. It's crazy. I had not checked in on that list in a while. The fact that this has been going on for a year and a half is just, it's just wild.
It's amazing.
I mean, it's bad. I mean, I know you're talking about them being better. Not a great baseball team this year. They were terrible last year. The fact that you could have just been betting first fives and ended up making money is just incredible.
Worst first five teams, by the way. Again, if you bet these bizarro every single game, again, you're probably doing something wrong, but just for exercise purposes, the Rockies are the worst. Okay, no surprise there. 13-43-9.
That's about as bad of a number as I ever remember seeing on this, though, Gil.
Well, certainly 65 games into a season, yeah. It is. You'd be down 22 units. By the way, if you're doing that again, what are you doing? Guardians are second worst. Now, the Guardians are, what are three games above 500? No, Guardians are now only two games above 500. Remember, that was my favorite season win total, was the Guardians under, and now they are finally coming back to earth. Their positive run differential is finally, regressing to what their record ought to be day by day. But part of that handicap was, I just don't think their starting pitching is that great. And 21-34-9, it would cost you almost 14 units if you bet them first five every single game this year. And the Dodgers, now, so this is also for, like, new baseball bettors. The Dodgers are third worst. So, again, with a team as good as the Dodgers are, you'd only be 27-31-9 betting them first 5 years this year. You'd be down 13 units, 13 plus units on them alone. Astros and Marlins round out the top five. The other thing we wanted to talk about, we'll talk about this later, but I just want to, oh, go ahead.
Clearly, sure. The Dodgers are terrible baseball.
But I do want, before we go on to other stuff, because we'll go into some of these later on the show, because Kelly put together a segment later. There are props available at, is this DraftKings where these were available? Mm-hmm. Team to record 60-plus wins, some teams to record 70-plus, some teams to record 80-plus regular season wins. I just want to sort of whet the appetite for later. So the Dodgers, that you can still bet the Dodgers to record 100-plus regular season wins this year. All right, Dodgers are currently 40-28. Currently 40-28 with a plus 65 run differential. Now, if you go through Pythagorean theorem, Bill James, tried and true, runs scored, runs prevented, what their record ought to be, guess what? The record ought to be exactly what it is, 40-28. If you do the sequencing on that, which I've explained many times before, which is, okay, it's one thing to know how many runs they've scored and how many runs they've given up, but it's entirely, you know, sometimes you get fortunate and unfortunate based on the sequencing of a frame. In other words, home run, three strikeouts, three walks, if it's in that order, then you only have one run. But if the home run follows the three walks and then you get the three strikeouts, you get four runs. So both offensively and defensively, you get fortunate and unfortunate in a game and then through a season. So they'd be 38-30 if you did it that way. Still right around where they should be. But here's the point. They got to go 60-34 the rest of the way to get to 100 wins. And even though they have an easy schedule, I'm not laying minus 330 on them having a better record win percentage-wise moving forward than they have had. No way. Sorry, Steve Fezzik. I know he loves the 100 wins.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter this football season? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. How about that? Look at that. It's a very attractive looking book there. A no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now. Get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-26 NFL betting guide dropping July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited-time offer. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code BOOK to sign up. Promo code BOOK. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Every time I say drop in July 1st, you should
drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
You should stand up and do something. that'll get the ladies to tune in for sure.
Oh,
we get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Scott Barbarak, who says at Urban Warfare One, who says, Gil, can you please ask Kelly if Taco Bell is a taco place or a chicken place? That's definitely him narrating the commercials, right? Nice to see him branching out.
Oh, I know. I haven't noticed the voiceover on that. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
But it is. I'm with you. It's a little odd to me that we need chicken nuggets at Taco Bell. But you know, I don't know. Fast food's going to do what it's going to do.
Martle J.
Do you remember the stores for like ever that were like the half Pizza Hut, half Taco Bell?
Oh yeah, we had one in San Francisco.
I never understood that. Like I was like, are people really going in and be like, let me get a stuffed crust pizza and throw a gordita on top there?
Martle J. Quote, just not the Semites was not on the ANG bingo card today. Laughing emoji. Rob Graham. Good morning, Gil and Kelly. Would you mind asking Walgreens to send up a couple pharmacists up here to North Saskatchewan? I can call in to get my refills, come in the next day, and still wouldn't have them even ready.
Oh, the service in North Saskatchewan.
Oh,
yeah. I've been hearing about that for years.
We've been talking about it on this show.
That's right.
Since the inception. Jack Olaquire. Gil, I'm a lifelong White Sox fan, and I can't figure out if your report is good or bad. Well, it's just something for bettors to note. I'm not making a comment on the team itself.
Yeah, if you're a fan, it's still bad.
You're better than last year, though. You really are. New York, you're welcome.
Yeah. Tall task there.
That's right. New York Bald Giants 42. Steve says, you mentioned that if Indiana pulls this off in the NBA Finals, it's the best title run ever. And I agree with you. But curious what you think is currently the best. I know I'm biased, but I think it's the 2007 Giants. Dallas and Green Bay both on the road, and the 18-0 Pats hard to top. That was great for sure.
Yeah. I mean, recent Miami Heat runs stick out to me as well, but...
Though they didn't get to the promised land, though. I mean, the one I always bring up, and I know maybe you're not considering college ball, but the Virginia... I'll say it again. The Wahoos, the Virginia Cavaliers of 2019, just because of the way they won that game against Purdue and the game against Auburn, they were down 14 to Gardner Webb in the first round a year after they got beat by UMBC as a 16 seed. I just think it's that. But you're probably right. The Giants' 2007 run is right up there. But this Indiana would take the cake, again, for those four games that they won, we talked about them at the end of the show yesterday. Even now, just this shortly removed from it, I don't think we fully appreciate how amazing it's been so far.
No,
and then Michael Salvino says, great info on MLB First Five. Appreciate. No problem. We'll update it again with Mark Borchardt on the Beating the Book podcast when we do the midseason Q2 report. Speaking of the NBA Finals, Mr. Bidlin, Ben Fox, our old buddy Ben Fox tweeted this. Remember this? We brought this up with Will Hill. Will Hill was the first one to point this out to me. He says, the Oklahoma City Thunder are 0-7 against the spread on the road this postseason. Will they cover their first game this playoffs on Wednesday night? Game 3 spread is Thunder -5.5. This is a thing. This has never happened before that a team wins the NBA title without covering a road game. This could still happen with OKC.
It's wild. I mean, it really is. Their home road splits heading into the finals were insane. They're talking about just straight up record. They're 4-3, so spread has come into play, obviously, in four of those situations for them to not cover seven times. But 4-3 on the road, they have a -6.2 net rating, and they're shooting under 30% from three. So it's been wild with the home road splits. I think some of it is... you know, some of it can continue, Gil. I don't expect... I note the three-point shooting percentage because you do, despite them being young players, despite the role players being asked to do a lot on this team, that's still such a low percentage. You do expect to regress positively here at some point. But yeah, man, it's a thing. And we talk about this game tonight, sitting 5, 5.5 most places, 228, 8.5, 229 the total. It's looking like, man, a total I've been staying away from a lot. I think we're going to get to a point like we do often in a lot of these NBA series where the under is going to be the look. I think the Pacers, if they lose this game tonight, we start to see some adjustment, more adjustments in game four. And it's, you're going to have to try to play, if they lose this game, you're going to have to try to play the variance game with three-pointers, I think. And you're going to have to start taking away Shea, who's doing anything he wants right now. But they're not throwing multiple guys at him. They're really playing him mainly one-on-one. And I think game four, if Shea cooks him again tonight, I think they're going to start having to sell out on stopping him a little bit more. It's going to leave some open looks for the Thunder. The one I expect to start tonight from the Pacers, though, is we start to see a lot more three balls go up. They have just struggled offensively to do anything against this Thunder team, and I think that's one of the ways they're going to look to score. Haliburton being a little bit banged up, I don't know how big of a deal to make of that, Gil. Sure, he's not 100%. I think we know that. How much is it going to affect him in this game tonight? Still to be seen. He did practice. I have one bet so far in the game tonight. I did bet over threes on him, over 2.5 three-pointers made for Tyrese Haliburton. Again, I think maybe he's limited movement-wise a little bit, settles for some of those deeper shots. I think they're just going to end up putting up more threes regardless. I think if you wanted to look early for first quarter stuff for him too, that wouldn't be a bad play. But yeah, when we talk side and total, I wouldn't touch. If anything, side, Drew kind of said yesterday, this number's about right on for me, but it would probably be Pacers or nothing in this one.
And let's remember, again, right now, adjusted series price with the series knotted up at one game apiece, Thunder are -525. Remember, pre-flop, they were -750.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, in case you missed it the morning we were talking about this, historically, the only teams heading into an NBA Finals that were as big of a favorite or bigger, and they all won, the 96 Bulls of Michael Jeffrey Jordan, who started 41-3 that year. They were -950 heading into the NBA Finals that year. They beat the Sonics in six, remember that? The 99 Spurs, that was the lockout year where they only played 50 games. They were -900 heading in against the Ewingless Knicks, I believe. Patrick Ewing was hurt, if I'm not mistaken, in that. And then it was the Kobe Shaq Lakers of 2000, 2001, and 2002 who were -800 against the Pacers. They beat the Pacers in six that year. They were minus 2,000 against the Sixers. Remember, Iverson won the first game with the walk over Tyronn Lue, but then the Lakers took the next four. And then 2002, the Lakers were minus 750, exactly what this Thunder team is. And that was the Lakers team that was more famous for beating the Kings in seven in the Western Conference Finals with a Game 6 controversy than they were sweeping the Nets that year in the finals.
Yeah, that was gross.
And then the only other team is the 2018 Warriors, who were, as you see, minus 1075 before that series. That was the Warriors team that was not the Warriors team that was 40-1 that won their first title, was not the KD Warriors that went 16-1 in the playoffs, and was not the 73-win Warriors that lost to the Cavs. This was the last iteration of the KD Warriors, where they beat the Cavs, they swept the Cavs in four. So the Thunder, we're showing the Thunder at minus 650. So this is really the air that the Thunder are in heading into this NBA Finals. And what was it? Drew said he believes they won't lose another game.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I'm right there with him. I'd probably put it Thunder at six in this point, at this point, but I've got a Thunder in five bet, so I would still, that would be nice. Yep. That would be nice. I think it's going to be, I think it's tough, though, for, still got enough respect for what this Pacers team has done in this playoff run that I think they likely take one of these two games at home, but man, I think tonight's the one they need more, because I think you really got to start thinking about some serious adjustments in game four if you lose this game tonight. Drew brought it up yesterday. I think it was a great point of, do we see this rotation start to shorten from by the Pacers? I think tonight they play things like they have been playing, but if it's an ugly result tonight, I think that's a good call by Drew. We see that more game four.
I think the Pacers need to win both. I really do. I think if they even split these,
yeah,
it's KD bar the door. Because can you really come up with a fifth miraculous win on the road in OKC? Let alone, who knows if a miraculous win will take place in games three or four. But I just feel like if it's 2-2, it's just so in the Thunder. Ball, you know, court at
and
that point.
And that's kind of what I mean by the three stuff, right? Yeah. Like this, I think tonight might play out fairly north. Like, Pacers take a regular approach. Okay, nothing. Yeah, you took home court advantage. It's 1-1. Nothing to freak out about yet, right? But if you get beat up tonight like you did in game two, you got to start doing something with Shea, and that's going to leave open shooters. And for your offense, you're going to have to start putting up way more threes just to play that numbers game.
If this goes seven, let's just say it goes seven, you know what date this ends on?
Oh, gosh. No, June 28th.
June 23rd, which is just like, really? Just run it into the preseason.
It's okay. I love it.
Yeah.
Back up the start of the series, or start of the season.
Coming back, Will Hill with all his plays next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis. It's the Sharp Plays, real-time global betting information, as well as alerts directly from the pros. We invite you to check them out, sharpplays.com. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Nick at Real Nick's, he says, hey, Kelly, we have a combo Taco Bell Long John Silver's.
Oh, God.
A few minutes from me. Nothing goes better with a burrito and three soft tacos than a dozen hush puppies, especially at 1 a.m.
I bet they make a great fish taco, though.
Long John Silver's.
When's the last time you've eaten a Long John Silver's?
Oh, I don't think I've ever. I think it's a null set.
I was just going to say, I don't know that I ever have in my entire life.
And I remember there was one growing up, and I never went in there. Darren Prince.
Good for them for still being around.
That's right. Darren Prince, with the riots in Los Angeles, the Dodgers have a 10-game at-home series starting Friday. Could MLB move the games? That's an interesting question that I had not considered. Obviously, depending on location and severity, the only historical precedent for this is the Rodney King riots in 1992. The Dodgers canceled and later rescheduled several home games. I remember that. And the Lakers moved a playoff game to Vegas due to the severity of that situation. So that's the historical precedent, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's a good thing to bring up.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you'd hate to see it happen, yeah. But we can't sit here right now and say there's a 0% chance that happened.
Let's point. What's it? Brandon Webb, 2019 Blues, least points in the league at the All-Star break. Oh, talking about, I guess he's talking about the question of what's the most What we were talking about was the most amazing playoff run. But yes, the 2019 Blues, I guess, from just being so average so late into the season, it was unique in that way. I think that's what he's reacting to.
How could you have forgotten about them, Gil? Come on.
You mean the team that won it after the Capitals did? That's all I remember them as. Let's see. Charles, we'll get to that one later. Let's bring in Will Hill. Will Hill, ladies and gentlemen, he's the host of the Should Have Bet More podcast, available where you get all your podcasts. He's also the star of the Beating the Book Megapod, and of course, Chris Velika's Bear Bets podcast empire over there at Fox Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill, and he's a co-host here at VSiN Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. He does it all. It's Will Hill, everybody. How you doing?
Boys, what's going on, Gilly? Nice to have you back. It's funny you bring that up because I was thinking the same thing with the Dodgers possibly moving the games or another option. I don't know if you remember this. It was about a decade ago. The Orioles played the White Sox. It was in Baltimore. They played in an empty stadium because there was something that happened. Civil unrest, I guess, would be the best way to put it. There was some incident where they couldn't properly, you know, guarantee security. So they played in an empty building, which was, I guess, a sign of things to come, you know, 5 years later with COVID. But that was very strange at the time where it was the ball players, it was the umpires, and it was, you know, coaches, managers, and nobody else. So I don't know if that would be an option.
Everybody should just play in Sacramento, clearly. That's what we figured.
Clearly.
That's where baseball should be housed.
Clearly. So I'll take a road trip. By the way, we were talking a little bit about this off air. Here are the MLB June most wins. So we update these every day here on the show. The Mets, Blue Jays, and Giants, all 7-2 atop the leaderboard in June. And there are our Detroit Tigers in fourth place right now at 6-3 with a +9 run differential. But I just want to seize on the Giants right there, Will, because this is what you brought up. The San Francisco Giants are 7-2. Look at that one run column. 6-2 in one run games.
That's crazy.
The last six games, they have won by a run, by a singular run. Unsustainable, I believe is what we call that. But nonetheless, you bank the wins, and there they are. Will, what about them? Sustainable or not?
Probably not. And by the way, for the audience, I had to twist Gil's arm very hard to get him to bring up the Giants. He resisted. I insisted. We went back and forth. Finally, he's like, we'll talk about the Giants. Yeah, and for anyone just figuring out a way to fade the Rockies as a free you know, parlay piece, spot on the bingo card, just, you know, fade the Rockies somehow. And if you went to bed early last night, you woke up with a nice little surprise with the Giants, I think 4 runs in the ninth. I don't know that they swing the bats well enough. Chapman just went on the IL, but look, the NL has been the Dodgers have been disappointing. The Padres have been disappointing at times. The Diamondbacks haven't lived up to expectations. Now they're not going to have Burns. You know, it's funny, a lot of these teams, just really in general in baseball, have not lived up to expectations. Braves were, 93.5? And I'll get to them in a minute with one of my plays. 93.5 wins, they're 10 games under. The Red Sox, the Rangers, the Diamondbacks, the Orioles. You got a lot of disappointing teams in baseball, more than I can remember in past years.
Yeah, I mean, some of those teams like the Reds, when you look at, and we'll get into these when we do some props in a bit, but it's, you know, the Reds should probably have a better record based on Pythag, based on base runs. So even though they are, they're 35-33, they probably ought to be a few games, if not 4 games, better than that. The Red Sox are also a team that probably should have a better record than they do based on run production and run allowance and also run sequencing. But, right, then you have to go to the personnel part of things. You're like, okay, well, that's one thing sort of abstractly. But, you know, that's what their record is. Doesn't matter what they should or should not have been. And then you don't have Bregman, and you're like, can they really, you know, and who knows when he's back, right? It's going to be a while. So, yeah, there's a lot of these teams where it's like, it's too bad. Maybe you should have been better, but you're not.
Yeah, that too. I mean, look, the Orioles were, 91, 92? They're over-under for wins, and they're looking at 13 games under 500. It's just a lot of these teams, so like you're saying, they're underperforming based on, you know, the runs scored, runs allowed, but some of the preseason expectations are just not matching. So, interesting. We're, you know, getting to the point where these teams, I mean, I've said this about the Braves. The season's long. There's a lot of time left. The season's long. The season is not eternal. Now, right. I understand the Tigers, the Mets last year, look, the Mets were one of the worst teams this time last year, and they were 2 wins away from a World Series. The Tigers just completely came out of nowhere, so it can happen. But just you're almost putting yourself in a position with some of these teams where there's no coming back from it.
Can you fact check Willie if a season is eternal? Can you fact check him on that, please?
It is not.
It feels that way sometimes.
It is not.
All right, what did you say? You have a Braves play? Was that what you teased that?
I did play the Braves. Schwellenbach going against Patrick. It's in the 140, 145 range. I just think better pitcher, better lineup. And, you know, Brewers really haven't swung the bats well recently, haven't swung the bats well at home for whatever that's worth recently. So I think this price is okay to lay with Atlanta. And look, gotta come at some point here if you're Atlanta. I have a hard time believing the run is not coming at some point. There's just too much talent. But again, you're 10 games under. I mean, they have one more win than the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're two games ahead of the Marlins. They're two games behind the Nats. They're trailing basically everybody in the National League. So if the run's going to come, it's got to come at some point. Plus, you got to give your front office a reason to believe here. But I do think this is a pretty favorable matchup here for Atlanta.
Anything else in baseball today?
I did play the Phillies. I know Lizardo has not been great. He's been very shaky the last two starts. But before that, he was dominant. Cubs the last 6 weeks or so have been shaky against left-handed pitching. So I think this is a good spot for Lizardo to bounce back. Philly's another team. They're not really swinging the bats as well as you'd expect with all those names you recognize in that lineup. They're now five back of the Mets. I know a lot of people before the season, Joe Pete, a bunch of people say, hey, they're getting older. They're a team on the decline. That's starting to look accurate, but I think this is a good spot to back the Phillies. And I did take the Marlins plus a half a run in the first five. Quantrill's been pretty solid lately, the Marlins pitcher, going against Falter, who's got decent numbers but just doesn't have the stuff. He doesn't blow you away with his stuff. So to me, this is one of these games where I love getting the half run in the first five. So often it's 2-2 after five, and you win with that hook, which feels really good. So I will take the half run here with the first five.
That's what Wishnev describes as a Willie special, the plus half a run in the first five. Will loves those.
And then PSA, that one starts early, right, Will? That is...
Yeah, 12:35 Eastern, I think. Love it.
By the way, Charles in Connecticut, Hoop Homer, he tweeted and he goes, curious to hear your thoughts on the Dodgers using a position player starting in the sixth inning last night. Don't we have to take a glance now anytime they're losing by 5+ in the seventh inning or later for a possible live bet? I would just broaden that. How many times do you think that comes up in our group chat where we're like, oh, position player alert? Not nightly, but like how many times a week would we say at this point?
How often does it come up versus how often does it actually cash? Because often you pinpoint it and say, oh, man, they're going to go to a position player. And some guy comes in throwing 26 miles per hour and gets him 1-2-3. You just want to just throw your remote control through the TV.
It's so true.
I do.
It's
so true. Is there a – obviously, you guys have your group chat. There's got to be a Twitter account out there, right? Like, I need that notification set up of, like, position player in. Like, I need that Twitter
account. MLB position player. That's the whole account. That's all they do.
That's all they do. Just alert when they're in.
Just bulbs.
The books are pretty smart. Once the position player's in, they kind of take everything down. You got to get ahead of it early in the game, an inning or two before, that kind of thing.
For sure. All right, NBA Game 3 tonight. NBA Finals, this just in. Special numbers game investigation reveals. Do you have a play?
It would be taking the points or nothing. I just don't know with how OKC's played on the road, how you get to laying 5, 5.5. That being said, I think this series goes one of two ways tonight. Indy wins. We're looking at a very tension-filled 48 hours where, man, OKC's down 2-1. Game 4 is on the road. It's nervous time for OKC. I think if OKC wins, though, I think a lot of people are going to turn the page mentally with how dominant they were in the first two games, despite the fact that it's only 1-1. So I think OKC wins. I can't get to lay in the 5.5, 5. This does remind me a little bit Miami-Denver a couple years ago, where Miami was just – they had so much magic. They proved everybody wrong. It was 1-1 after two, and then they never won another game. This Indy team reminds me a little bit of that Miami team. I'm terrified to bet against the Pacers with what they've done here the past month.
How can you not be, man? How can you not be? I totally get it. Will, always a pleasure. Should have bet more. How many times a week do you put them out?
Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday. A who's who of phenomenal guests. Thank you, Will.
Sports Betting Network.
Take your betting to a whole nother level with First Bet. Sign up now at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com, and use promo code VSID200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. We get tweets beating the book. Guess what everybody wants to talk about, Kelly?
Fast food.
Oops.
That's all I'm Googling right now, too.
Hoops by Hoots. We have a Long John Silver's A&W root beer combo in Indiana. Oh, man.
That's the one I was most fascinated by, the A&W root beer like restaurants. Like I used to go once in a while. My dad always liked to stop at them when we go visit his mom in Pennsylvania. I hadn't seen them anywhere else outside of Pennsylvania though. Just looked up, they still got 475 locations nationwide, including one in Boulder City.
Oh, I did that with Roy.
Want to hit the road after this?
Yes, absolutely, I would. I did that with Roy Rogers fast food restaurants on the East Coast. So I grew up on those, and apparently they still exist now. But I don't know if they're the same thing. Jason Stark, who egregiously coupled me with you on the Steelers hate yesterday, he said, "Hey guys, we have an A&W root beer KFC combo about a half hour from me." Jason H11, "I also have a combo Taco Bell Long John Silver's near my office. Coincidentally, there's a Portolette company less than a mile away." Coincidence? I think not. Ronnie Roach, "I had a Long John Silver's A&W combined restaurant near me while growing up and loved it. No A&W anymore, but I go to Long John Silver's every now and then for that nostalgia. You guys are missing out. Going to get some today now." Sparty KY, "Believe it or not, Long John Silver's is a decent grilled salmon with green beans and slaw.
Oh, man.
And a very good piece of cheesecake. I do not want to get that. Sorry." You know what I'd like? I'd like some green beans. Let's see here. Oh, Bobby Geddes. "A couple days late here. First of all, welcome back, both of you. Matt Brown, Scott Seidenberg did great filling in. By the way, it was terrible form of me. Usually the first thing I do when I come back is thank the host. Did I do that this week? I don't think I did.
No, I wasn't here on Monday, so I don't know.
I don't think I did that. So shame on me. Matt Brown, awesome. Scott Seidenberg on Friday. Anyways, he says, "I have to bring up the French Open again. That men's final match was incredible. I'm on a family reunion in Ireland, and we were at the Guinness factory during the match. I asked if any bars had tennis on and was laughed out of the room, so I had to settle for a back hallway with an outlet to watch on my phone. The things we do to watch these games. Good for you. It was worth it, though, wasn't it?"
I mean, if you can't ask about like tennis being on in Europe, like you're getting laughed out of the room in Europe?
Come on. "Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to talk some U.S. Open golf. Oakmont begins in less than 48 hours. Or less than 24 hours. Forgive me. I've lost track of time. Sia Najad joins us to discuss and give all his bets. He's host and analyst for Sportsline. You can follow him on Twitter at Sia Najad, S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D. Always the best dressed man in the room. Or maybe he's not the best dressed man. He just looks good in the clothes.
He's got gym shorts on underneath for sure. He's a TV pro.
Joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, Sia?
If we could go like maybe 20 more minutes on the fast food conversation, just real quick. First of all, good pull on Roy Rogers. Wendy's is my favorite fast food joint, unless you include Boston Market, which has historically been incredibly underrated. And I know they're closing in a lot of places. Love me some Boston Market. Love me some Wendy's.
I'm going to say I'm an old school Boston Market guy when it was Boston Chicken. That's when it was great. Mm. When they went to Boston Market.
Mm. Wow. How old are you? Never even
I am 174 years old.
I've never seen a Boston Chicken. Oh. I agree with you. A Boston Market being underrated. I haven't seen one of those in years, though, either.
Yeah, Boston Chicken was the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah, man. I don't know if you know this, but I remember the 80s.
Why'd they go away from that? They serve is chicken. It's not like they really expanded the menu.
They wanted to branch out at one point. Anyway,
speaking of the 80s, sorry, I always derail the show.
That's okay.
We're Clint Didier days away from NFL kickoff.
You know what that means? That means we're 86 days away.
There you go.
I got to stop pounding that table.
Yeah.
See, before you get into the U.S. Open, can I just ask you, what's the weather report? Because this is sort of creeping in. What's going on with that?
You mean at the U.S. Open at Oakmont?
Yes, not your current weather.
Yeah, I mean,
yes, at Oakmont.
Like the weather here in D.C. I think it's pretty mild over the first 2 days. I don't think we're going to get I know there's going to be some rain, I believe, on Friday, which could make conditions softer and could make scores lower, like better scores because of that. I don't have a good read on the weather. I know Thursday is going to be pretty mild, not much wind in the morning or the afternoon. My understanding is that we will see some rain Friday. I don't know if it's going to suspend play or not, but that is going to seep in there on Friday for sure.
Yes, yeah, Saturday, Sunday looking like precipitation.
Latest I saw, wet early this week a little bit, and they were talking about that as guys have been prepping. Thursday, Friday were mainly supposed to be okay. The weekend could get some weather, but it has been changing, I know, the forecast over the past 24 hours, so keep an eye on that.
Mm-hmm. All right, have at it, CEO. We'll start with the outrights, or however you want to go.
Well, last time I was on here, I probably did what I'm about to do, and I'm going to do the without Scottie Scheffler market because I don't want to deal with the guy that I think is going to win. I also don't want to bet him at plus 260 or plus 275 or even plus 300. Not that you can get it at that number at many places. I'm going to go with John Rahm. I'm going to go with John Rahm and the without Scottie Scheffler market. That's my main play. I got a couple other names to kind of mention here, but John Rahm's playing really well. Yes, he's playing well on LIV, and you can kind of like take that with a bit of a grain of salt, but I do think there's good evidence that he's gaining across all metrics on LIV, and that would probably translate over to the PGA Tour as well. But more importantly, we saw him almost chase down Scottie Scheffler about a month ago at the PGA Championship. I think he's in great form. And when we look at who can possibly win this tournament, yeah, I guess there's some underdogs that could kind of get in there, but there's really five or six, maybe eight or nine guys that I think could win this tournament. I think John Rahm and Bryson are at the top of that list once you get past Scottie Scheffler. As far as Bryson is concerned, his number in the without market's like plus 700. And because I put Rahm and Bryson on the same playing field, at least here, especially with respect to how good both of them are off the tee, I'm just going to go with the better number. I'm going to go with John Rahm. Other names that are sort of in the more underdog market here, Shane Lowry in the without market, I do like on a tough course at 35-1. And then in the without Scotty, Rory, Bryson, Rahm market, which of course you can also engage, I'm going to go Sam Burns, certainly a hot hand at plus 3,500. So two in the without market, which with Scotty, and one in Sam Burns in the without Scotty, Rory, Bryson, and Rahm market.
How universal are the without Scotty markets? Are they in all books? Are they in 50% of books? What would you say at this point?
At this point, they're in all the major books. Now, not all books are doing, well, I mean, I guess it depends on what you think is a major book, but most of the major books have the without Scottie Scheffler market. The without the like the four, the big four, that's something that a couple of books have been doing all year, but not every book is doing that one. And frankly, not a lot of people want to engage that market anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's where we are with Scottie Scheffler.
No shocker, Gil. Not as many out here in Vegas.
Wow. That's why I ask.
Caesars and MGM.
And that's why I ask, Sia, because we live in our own little ecosystem here in Nevada. All right. Finishing positions, you have some bets as well.
Yeah, I'll go back to Sam Burns at plus 190 to top 20. I mean, I love what he's doing off the tee. I like his game for this course in general, but more importantly, because I suppose we can't look at what he did off the tee last week necessarily. These are completely different fairways in terms of how narrow they are, but the ball striking in general looks like we're starting to see the old Sam Burns, but what has never left Sam Burns is the putter. And when you get a tough course like this and you've got one of the best putters in the field in Sam Burns, I mean, he absolutely crushes it with that stick. And I just feel like when we're looking at a really tough course, we need guys who can make clutch putts, and Sam Burns is that guy. So at plus 190 for a top 20, because of this number, it's only a half a unit play for me. But I think Sam Burns has top 10 upside, frankly, and it wouldn't shock me if he's in the top five. Harris English, top 30. I think he's a popular play. You can get it at plus 115. These are all including ties. Harris English is just so underrated. I hit him in the without Scottie Scheffler market when he was 110-1. What was it? A few weeks back. Mm-hmm. Of course, that was a three-way split with Bryson and maybe Davis Riley. But Harris English, super underrated, particularly underrated off the tee. Good in tough courses, tough conditions. Top 30, very reasonable at plus 115.
All right, and then top South Korean, Siwoo Kim, plus 225.
I like how the game is trending for him. He's very accurate off the tee, which I do think is going to help tremendously. The length isn't great, but when you're talking about who he's up against, it's Sung Jae-im, Tom Kim, and Ben An. Ben An has some length. He's not really good anywhere else. Sung Jae-im's been so bad on approach, and Tom Kim's just been so bad for like a year. So I think Siwoo Kim's coming in with the best form, has a good profile, can certainly putt as well. You worry about the blow-up spot, but again, this is plus 225. This is one where you could put even less than a half a unit to win a full unit here.
All right, would not be an official Sia Nejad segment without his first round leader plays, a branding that he did not want, but he's too good at it not to have it. What do you got?
It's ironic, too, because this year I haven't been as hot with first-round leaders, but I've been very hot in the outright market. So, you know, do with that what you will. But I got five here, all between 50 and 90-1. We're going to go with Shane Lowry, a guy that's good on tough courses and I think is going to keep it in the fairway and keep it in front of him. Harris English, I just talked about. He's 75-1. Ryan Fox, ride the hot hand, and he's been more accurate off the tee. I think he could be still really good for round one, if not all four rounds, at 80-1. And then two kind of long shots, Ryan Gerard, Adam Scott, at 90-1.
Yeah, Ryan Gerard, though, you've seen it as much as I have. See, after the first round, how often he's on that first page of that leaderboard. I don't know what it's with him in the first round, but man, he's been incredible there.
See,
yeah, spike potential is what we're looking for there. Yep.
Appreciate it as always, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
At Sia Najad, S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D. Always a pleasure to have Sia on the show. We'll come back. More of those Major League Baseball props to get to 60 wins, to get to 70, to get to 80, to get to 100. That's next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.